From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays, a weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, the rector of St. Mark's. Welcome.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now, there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Many of you know that in my life before the priesthood, I spent some time as a camp director. And when you live and worship with the people that you work with, community tends to come up pretty quickly. We tend to grow and bond, and with that comes some teasing. That's how you make friends when you're young, is you tease. And so my staff loved to tease me about a very particular thing. See, when you're a staff director at a camp that every week sees almost 200 campers come through and has 50 full-time staff and 25 or so volunteer staff, you seem to always be on the move. You seem to always be going to the next thing, the next emergency or the next program, a kid fell in the Gaga ball pit, or there's been a dispute between two counselors, or teaching doesn't have the sticky notes they need. And so I was often on the move in a very distinct way. I call it walking with purpose. My staff called it power walking. But I'd always walked that way. My dad was 6'5", and when I was a little girl and we walked places together, I had to take 8 steps for every one of his. And so I had been used to this pace of diligent walking, purposeful walking, walking with intent towards a target, towards a deadline, towards a goal. I never stopped to think about what other people thought about that. And so at the end of the summer, my staff got up at Bonfire, which is a big talent show at the end of every week. And there's a song that campers love to sing to kind of poke fun at their counselors called "I Wish I Was a Camp Caper's Counselor." And they sing it to the tune of Oscar Mayer Wiener. And then when it gets to them, one of them steps up and says, "I wish I was so-and-so." And they do something or they say something that's supposed to be a caricature of that person. And it's supposed to be really funny. And so at the end of the summer, my staff got up to sing this song. And it goes like this. "Oh, I wish I was a Camp Caper's Counselor. That is what I truly want to be. And if I was a Camp Caper's Counselor, Sam is who I'd be." That's how it went, just like that. And I remember thinking to myself, gosh, if that's all they have to make fun of me for, I'm really boring. I'm always going somewhere, on a path, journey, whatever metaphorical language you want to use. I usually walk with purpose. But I've thought about that moment a lot because I wonder what I'm missing in between. I'm very single-sided. I go full speed ahead towards one goal to the exclusion of all else. You might say I wear blinders. And I'm one of many billion people on the planet. There's only so many personality traits in the world, so I'm sure I'm not the only person like that. I think it's part of our humanity to sort of move towards a target to the exclusion of all else, to the exclusion of what's around us or who's around us, and not for any malign purpose, but just because we're trying to get somewhere. My staff would make fun of me because it was hard to interrupt me. If I was going somewhere, you either had to pick up the pace and walk alongside me, or you had to have a big neon flashing sign because I wasn't stopping. So I read passages like our gospel passage today and think to myself, you know, Jesus was a guy always on the move. Jesus was always going to the next thing, the next place. We're in Mark 5 right now, and in Mark 5, the first thing he does is he goes in a boat across the Sea of Galilee to heal the Gerasene demoniac, the guy full of demons who Jesus says, "Who are you?" And they say, "We are legion." Remember that story? So he heals that guy, and he sends the demons into these pigs, and they run down a cliff into some water, and the people of the community are so freaked out that they're like, "You gotta go. Like, don't come back here. Don't stay. You're scary. Bye. Please leave us." So we hear today that he gets back in a boat and he comes back to the other side, back to his original place across the Sea of Galilee. And he gets out and there's a crowd waiting for him by the sea. He's always on the move, going to the next person's house or up a mountain or to Jerusalem or to the cross. He's always going somewhere to heal or to commune with God or to save the world. I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's me. I'm always going somewhere to make it better. I'm going to the next thing. We're going, here we go, let's go. Those people over there, they need healing. They need saving. They need Jesus. I know I'm not the only one that thinks that. But when you take a closer look at today's gospel, what Jesus is really saying, what this story is telling us, is that the destination and the journey aren't mutually exclusive. You've got to have them both. One's not better than the other. One's not needed more than the other. The little girl that Jesus goes to heal who's dying, the target, the destination, is just as important as the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years and reaches out to touch the hem of his cloak while he's got his blinders on and is moving through a crowd. We've got to look for the work of the Spirit when we're on the way to where we're going. We've got to get there. The destination matters. It's not irrelevant. The target, the goal, whatever you're working towards, it matters. We can't do it by excluding everything around us on the way there. We've got to leave room for the Spirit to work. Miracles happen on the way just as much as they happen at the place. So if you're type 1A, whatever, perfectionist like I am, the journey matters. If you're the other type, the destination matters. The little girl and the woman both received miracles because Jesus knows that God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's healing is big enough to encompass every aspect of life. There's not one or the other. It's a false dichotomy. So I've learned to dawdle a little bit in my walking around. Learned to appreciate people around me and things around me that I used to think were getting in my way to my goal or my purpose. And I hope you will too. I hope you'll treat both as equally important, as the utmost of significance of the very venue of miracles. Amen.
Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children, wade. Water, God's comfortable water. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children, wade. Water, God's gonna trouble the water. God's gonna trouble the water. See those children all dressed in white.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Looking like the children of the Israelites.
Water, you ain't in the water, children.
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.